Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Raw Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray from What Culture to discuss everything that happened on last night's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, NXT Super, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Andy Murray to review Monday Night Raw. The Dudley Boys still conspicuously off sick together.
Very suspicious.
Get well soon, though, boys. What did you make of last night's Monday Night Raw?
I thought it was, in general, Adam, really bad.
I had to watch you watching some of this show and just getting more frustrated.
Yeah, so usually, like, on a news day, I'll really just skim through it, not watch it to the level of depth where you have to, if you're reviewing it, you need to pay attention to everything and take everything in and all of that. Usually on a normal work day, I'll skim Raw and get the newsworthy stuff and get a gist of the quality. Sitting down there and watching this trope-laden, just a lazy show this.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, man. Like, I have all the credit in the world to you guys for doing this every single week. Like, sometimes, like, when me and Hamflet did the review the other week when you and Sidiwaji were offsky-wofsky, it was, like, genuinely a pretty solid episode. Yeah. Like, most things made sense.
Raw's been pretty decent, I'd say, recently.
It's been better than crap.
Yes.
Which
sliding
was...
scale, grading on a curve, whatever you want to
say. Like, it was Drek for a lot of 2021. And, yeah, it has been pretty okay recently. But I thought, I mean, this was really bad hours of pro wrestling with a couple of minor things here and there that were quite good. But even what is being considered the consensus best thing on this show, that being the main event, I thought was majorly flawed. So, hey, listen, if you want to listen to a grumpy, bald prick complain about Raw for an hour or so, you've come to the right place.
We're going to have some fun with this, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know how I feel about it, because I spent this whole show going, Cody's coming. They're going to get to the fireworks factory. And then... you know, and you just get that sense with about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
If they don't go home here, there's no time. Like, they aren't going to be one, two, three, Cody's music hits. They comes out for 30 seconds. Yeah. Like, we got that experience talking about SmackDown the other day when the Ricochet match finished with 3 minutes to go. You sort of knew something's up here. Well, when there was, you know, barely any time left and they still hadn't pinned whoever it was that was going to win. And go on to host the KO show at WrestleMania.
What an honor to be fighting for.
I appreciated a through line through this show, but I don't know whether I just got sort of dragged along with Cody's coming, you know, don't worry, it's going to be the best Cody you've ever seen. And then when it didn't happen, not saying that it will never happen, but whether it just sort of, they sort of tricked my brain. We'll talk about it as we go through this show. Let's start at the beginning. Kevin Owens comes out to open the show and welcome us to Monday Night Raw. before he does that, though, just a quick nod, a lovely nod to the late Scott Hall with a little hey yo.
That was nice.
That was a really nice touch. And he's excited. He's going to WrestleMania. Not only is he going, but he's going to be the main event on Saturday because he's got the KO show with the greatest of all time, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he talked about using his large Canadian brain to come up with the idea of challenging the embodiment of Texas. And he was going to smear his ass all over Texas, basically. I did like the fact that that's a sensible idea, that if you're not on the card at WrestleMania, just work out which legend is from where you're going to be at and just slag them off.
Yeah, offer them a fight.
USA chant, and Owen said, don't worry, you are going to see a can of whoop ass. You're not going to see a can of whoop ass, sorry. You are going to see a nice can of Canadian beer, though. He said he doesn't even like beer, but he's glad to crack one open after he beats the hell out of Austin. And that's the bottom line, because KO said so. And like we called on the preview pod, he hit a sunner. Not on Montez Ford or Ronda Rousey, or as our Eva game
Marie.
Predicted.
Yeah.
Yeah, but on a cameraman in the ring. But a statement of intent from Kevin Owens.
What a complete waste of time this was. Kevin Owens was good. Don't get me wrong. I thought he conducted the crowd really well to get the USA chants, easy stuff. But he got it out of them, and he was his usual compelling self. And he's quite good at playing up my massive Canadian cack or whatever he said. All of that stuff, he does it really well. He's always enjoyable to listen to. But this was just a complete waste of time. It's like, first of all, it took 5 minutes between the start of the show and it took 5 minutes to get to the point where Kevin Owens actually opened his mouth through the video packages and the intros and the entrances.
Yes, I skipped all that.
Yeah, it was like, come on, brother, what are we doing here? And then we get to it, and it's Kevin Owens responding to Kevin Owens responding to Steve Austin responding to Kevin Owens. That's literally what the segment is. Nothing new, nothing particularly interesting. He does a stunner, and the stuff you're doing later in the show with Seth Rollins and all of that, which we'll get to, you could have done fine without this. It was just a complete bit of filler. It was like broadly entertaining, but I'm not giving it a pass for that because it served no purpose whatsoever. He gave a cameraman a stunner. Okay, he does a stunner every week. Who cares? Right?
Good sell from the cameraman, though.
Yeah, really good sell from the cameraman. I wonder if that guy's trained. Yeah, I resented having to watch this because I'm watching on delay. I'm trying to cram watch to get to the podcast so we can review it. And it was just a complete waste of my time. Why did this exist?
Welcome to the Raw Review Podcast.
Yeah, maybe I should have reconsidered my approach coming into this.
Then we got US champ Finn Balor non-title match against the former champion Damian Priest. Before it could begin, though, Austin Theory comes down. And guess what? We got another recap of what's been going on with him and Pat McAfee.
We don't have enough of those.
Yeah. Another nice touch here. Priest, I know he's used it before, but he used a razor's edge on Balor early on into the announce table to take us to a break. Balor fights back. He goes up top, goes for the coup de grace, set it all up with like the drop kick and all the usual stuff from him. But Theory leaves commentary, jumps up on the apron. Balor gets involved with him. Shotgun drop kicks him into his little leather chair. But as he gets back in the ring, Priest has had time to recover, and he hits Finn Balor with the Reckoning. And celebrates, and inevitably will parlay this into a title match, one would assume, at WrestleMania. And Theory jumps in to taunt and hit Balor with an ATL and take some selfies.
Yep. I mean, goodness.
They work well together, Priest and Balor, I will say that.
Yeah, theoretically, this is a really good United States title feud because they're both extremely talented.
And they've got dark sides.
They've got dark sides. They're evil. The demon versus Damien, the snake. The idea of putting these guys together is good. Austin Theory is always very obnoxious when he does his little selfie thing, so
I think he might steal the show, you know, at WrestleMania.
What, we're bumping hard for
him,
Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee and Vince McMahon. That is, that's quite the cocktail.
It's certainly, like, looking at it, it's the biggest freak show appeal, isn't it, of the whole card so far, unless Steve Austin decides he's going
to
wrestle.
Or Knoxville decides to take the maddest bump of his entire career.
Yeah, there's actually, come to think of it, there's a lot of freak show stuff on this card, and I'm here for it, 100%. This was just, it's one of these things that, and complaining about it's fruitless. I'm not doing that. I'm just pointing out how stupid this is. Another example of this ridiculously talented roster that WWE has and the company utilizing them in the most uncreative ways. This was something we've seen like millions of times on WWE TV before. The heel is at ringside. Babyface gets distracted like a total geek and then loses because their focus was elsewhere. I don't know, man. I'm sure there are folk out there who look at this kind of thing and goes, oh, I really want to see what happened next week. But when you're like us and you've been watching wrestling for years and you've seen this, you see this every week for 20, 30 years or whatever, it has no effect. I like that, and yes, he's done it before, but the razor's edge was clearly a nod, and that's a nice touch. That's a really nice touch. It's just how to immediately make a new babyface champion look like a complete dumbass. And a moron. This is why they can't build babyfaces, because they're all complete buffoons.
Yeah, it strikes me that maybe this is a strategy because we've got, what, two Raws before WrestleMania now?
Yeah. It's maybe, a bad strategy.
Maybe they're setting up a weird sort of tag match with Priest and Theory versus Balor, who do all the work.
And the Demon.
And Pat McAfee.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. It's just like...
Let it play out, Andy.
No, why? Like, I hate... why am I getting annoyed? It's WWE. Okay, calm down. Letting it play out, it's like, would be okay if the steps of that process didn't make a guy look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Which he does. And it's
if
like,
you hadn't had every single finger burned on multiple occasions.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff is just rubbish. Who's it for? Who's it for? It's for... I know who it's for. It's for... people who only watch WWE, right?
And exactly.
Have only ever seen it. And that's totally fine. That's totally fine.
Well, it's not.
Yeah,
expand your reading.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you would expand your frame of reference and go and watch other stuff and explore the wider world. But, like, if you only want to watch one company, I'm not going to tell you not to do that. But, like, from my standpoint, as somebody who's literally watched about 30 different companies this year and has done for, like, the best part of 30 years as a fan, this is worthless dreck. It's rubbish. It's shit. Like, I know you guys have a different tone on this podcast, but I'm going to bury it because it sucks.
No, I enjoy watching Damian Priest and Finn Balor in the ring, but how often have I sat here and gone, well, it basically went to a DQ or distraction finish, so everything that's happened in the preceding 7 minutes doesn't really matter.
And
I'm excited. I think they're going to have a sensational... I mean, it's going to be filled with dark bollocks.
Demon stuff.
Yeah. Damien, like you say, Damien versus the Demon. I think the match at WrestleMania is going to be really good. The problem is they just have to keep having filler matches to run the clock down.
It's the same old thing, isn't it? There's no point in investing in the week-to-week booking because of the problems that we've just described. But when you get to the pay-per-view, you're probably going to get a good match. So it's like...
Well, not the pay-per-view.
Sorry.
Premium live event.
I don't know who I was doing a voice of there, but yeah. I keep defaulting to pay-per-view. Yeah. It's like premium live event.
You'd be sacked like that.
I would, man. PLE. It's just not catchy, is it?
No.
Like, pay-per-view... I was in favor of the change. I mean, like, pay-per-view is a defunct term for WWE.
A lot of people don't understand that there's three words in it as well.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view.
Paper.
You're viewing paper.
Yeah, it's made out of tree mulch. It's a defunct word. I just wish they'd chosen something a bit more catchy, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, super show. Supercard.
I hate them when they invent
mega
words.
Show. Stupendous show.
Oh, they love that.
That word, man. I'm not quite sick of it yet. Like, I'm sitting there watching Raw, and I'm kind of popping when they see it, because it's so weird the way they kind of crowbar it in. What words do you reckon they're going to get to in a few years when they've run out of adjectives? Like,
I'm astonished they haven't renamed Wade Barrett into Stupendous. For a guest commentary.
I'm Stupendous. I've come to...
Good news, Stu. You can have your original name. Great. But your surname is going to be Pendus.
Oh, my goodness. Stupidubidus, is that a word? I don't know.
Indubitably.
Indubitably. Bequeath. Those are not appropriate, but, you know, I don't know. Let us know in the... Does this have a comment section? I don't know.
On Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE.
Yeah, let us know what dumbass adjective you want to see.
Whilst you're reviewing something, I'm going to... saw a Stupendous and see what I can bring back to
Let's
you.
Let's go for it.
Before that, though, we had Seth Rollins backstage with Kevin Patrick, who's asking him about WrestleMania. And Rollins just sort of stared ahead, and there was big Cody chants, and it got me really excited. They got my bloody hopes up after this. And then it was time for Andy, the Battle of the Giants.
They're very large.
They loved promoting this. Commander Aziz, who, hang on, let me get this fact that someone sent on our work chat earlier. Commander Aziz, who has had 10 televised matches in 7 years, according to Reddit.
He's nothing if not prolific.
In action against Big George, a.k.a. Omos. And it went under 2 minutes.
Battle of the Giants.
They do. They lock up. They sort of shove each other a bit. Omos, the bigger man, knocks him outside, clotheslines him over the top as well. I think Commander Aziz maybe hung him up on the top rope as he was getting back in, but goes to suplex Omos, and fair play to him. Just seems to deadlift, Omos does. Picks up Aziz, hits him with a sort of counter suplex, and then gets him up. tree slam, 1, 2, 3, and then to add insult to injury to make sure we all know that this team is just done in Vince McMahon's eyes. He chokeslams Cruz as well after the match.
It's a good old school 6 feet deep burial, this, wasn't it? I thought it was all right, though. Like, you know, it's a 2 minute match. That Aziz is not somebody they're protecting. You can argue they should protect him. If you're...
I would like to argue that fact.
Yeah, like you can argue that. And I would agree with you. But I'm not sure a guy who's wrestled 10 matches across 7 years has really shown a lot to suggest he can be this huge groundbreaking star or whatever. It's fine. Whatever. Omos is obviously very basic, but like his ability to hold Aziz there and maneuver into that suplex was pretty damn impressive. Mm-hmm. Kind of handled the guy as if he was weightless. So I actually preferred this to some of the Omos versus smaller guy matches we've seen. It was fine. Like, you know, whatever. Like, could sit here and pick apart the presentation of Apollo and Aziz, but what's the point? What's the point?
I've just been Googling Thesaurus Stupendous.
What have you got?
I like mind-boggling.
The mind-boggling WrestleMania ever. I mean, it is mind-boggling.
Monumental, I feel like they've definitely used before.
Yeah, yeah. Superfluous!
Breathtaking, astounding. Dynamite.
Oh, that would be fun. It's dynamite.
Spectacular. Staggering.
Staggering.
Overwhelming.
Oh, gee whiz, I mean, when it was one night and it was 9 hours long.
Titanic.
Oh, that's risky. That's risky.
Hang on. What's he also synonyms for stupendousness? Bigness.
Bigness.
Bigness, greatness, hugeness, immenseness.
There you go.
Can you handle the immenseness of WrestleMania 39? Immensity. That's boring.
Yeah, it's boring.
Massiveness.
Mahusive.
Size.
The size of WrestleMania.
Tremendousness.
Okay.
That's good.
I do like the word tremendous.
Or prodigiousness.
Feel like they probably don't know what that word means.
Nope.
Yeah.
And so they'll use it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Battle of the Giants.
It was all right.
It was there.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know what it almost is just going to win the Andre, isn't he? That's it.
Yeah.
They can't do what else with him. And that's it. Like, and when I say that's it, I don't mean at WrestleMania. I mean generally.
Yeah. It's such a weird push, this, isn't it? Because it's like Vince McMahon obviously has an affinity for large guys. We
Does
know
he?
That. Yeah, well, yeah, it might come as a surprise to some people.
Do they give him a...
Quite possibly, yeah. Although, I don't think Vince has been able to have one of those without the use of chemicals for a while.
Yeah. Happens to us all.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. But it's kind of slow burning, and that's probably the right thing to do, because, like, you can have the guy win him. Beat all these guys on the lower mid-card, but, like... He's not ready for a world title program, is he?
He
like,
will be.
No, it's like, I get a joy out of some of the squashes. Like, yeah. I actually thought like a lot of the AJ stuff was quite well done, because it was like...
WrestleMania thing was sensational.
Yeah, it was. It was. And like the way AJ used almost sometimes as like a weapon where he'd jump off him and stuff was fun. And they would protect him to a degree because AJ would do all the work and then almost would just come in like the it was kind of like late career Andre the Giant, where he would do these tags. And you know, he couldn't do a whole lot, but he'd come in and it was just like this ultimate weapon because he's so huge. Like if he breathes at you, you're going to fall over. That kind of vibe. But like... Yeah, as a singles wrestler, I don't know, man. Like, they blew off the AJ feud really quickly. Their matches weren't that good. And AJ is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. So I'm dubious of what you can do with Omos long term. But he is massive. So there you go.
Exactly.
Do you reckon he'll, like, have a comedy gimmick by the end of the year?
I think they'll bring back Raw Underground.
Okay. Well, Shane's not busy at the moment, so you know. Oh, what if they combine it? What if they combine it? Shane, who's currently unemployed by WWE, hacks into Raw to give you Raw Underground. He is also Retribution. Retribution. Also, it's the SmackDown hacker, but on Raw.
Very good.
Ali, come on down.
That'll definitely get him back.
Yeah, that'll pull him in. Great creative.
I do love this dynamic of Owens and Rollins. I am going to miss it when it's gone.
They're great. They're fantastic together.
They're backstage, and Owens is like, trying to cheer his mate up and trying to help him come up with an idea for WrestleMania. And he says, you're a visionary, after all. You're an architect. Think of all the great stuff you've done. You beat Triple H. You beat Lesnar. You cashed in the Money in the Bank briefcase. You lost to me. Nice little touch, that.
Very good.
And he says, maybe I can help you come up with something. And then all of a sudden, It's like the light bulb comes on in Seth Rollins' head, and he perks up, and he smiles, and he walks off. Oh, I should mention there was also a nice Scott Hall, bad times don't last, bad guys do, akin line in
all
there.
All-time great
all this.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just love this dynamic of they're both arseholes.
Yeah,
but they're pretending to be nice to each other.
I'll miss them when they're not doing this stuff on screen together. They're brilliant together. They really are. Like Kevin always has been really good at like taking a script that might not be the best thing in the world and making it his own with just little witty comments and little things that make you pop. And you know, the kind of clips that appear on Reddit Squared Circle the next day with like a streamable link, and it's like Kevin Owens spoiler funny, and it gets like 4 million votes or whatever because he's just he's really great at this. And Rollins in this character is entertaining. So yeah, I mean, it lasted about a minute, but this was good. So
and then we get another boring, predictable development in the women's tag team title picture. It was a singles match. This Liv Morgan versus Queen Zelina. Before the match, we got a little video of them earlier on in the day with Queen Zelina. Telling Carmella, you better focus on our title defense. Stop thinking about bloody cack all the time, basically. Because they're desperately trying to promote this failing YouTube series. Watched any much of what's it called? Corey and Carmella?
I value my free time. So I haven't. I did watch the trailer where it was, I don't know, like 2 minutes long, and they made about, I don't know,
sex!
Yeah, the view, the thing that they, and you're going to need to mark this for a swear, but the thing they wanted you to think coming out of it was, hey, these people f***. That was the overwhelming message of it. So, you know, whatever. Good-looking people, both of them, but I'm good.
Carmella didn't focus on the titles because she tried to get involved early on in this match to help her tag team champion friend. Morgan takes a swipe at her. This attracts, obviously, Rhea Ripley, who's, you know, come down to ringside with Liv Morgan. They form this weird team that people are really into just because Liv Morgan jumps when thingy does a stomp
thing. What are you talking about? They've been best mates for ages.
Anyway,
so you've been watching.
So that allows Zelina to powerbomb Liv Morgan. But Ripley's not having this, so she chases Carmella, who leaps into the, not arms, but lap of Corey Graves on commentary. In amongst all this distraction for Zelina, Morgan recovers, hits Zelina Vega with the, Queen Zelina with the Oblivion. 1, 2, 3. Zelina gives Carmella a look, and before they can even leave the ring, they're like, yeah, here comes Seth Rollins, get on with it.
That was like an AEW turnaround, wasn't it? It's like, hey, a thing happened, on to the next one.
Yeah.
This, oh God, whatever. Like, joking about the Leah Morgley, whatever the tag team's called. Like, it is this hastily put together thing where you're being led to believe that they're best mates or whatever, but they do have a bit of chemistry. And they look like they're having fun together, which is good. But, oh man, it's just another
live thing. And let rip.
That's good. Was that on the show? Did I miss that?
I just made that up.
Oh.
I think, unless I've just been inceptioned by WWE.
I think that's quite good. Ripley's Believe It or Not. Hey? Hey? God, I hate myself. Okay, so we're teasing tension now between the women's tag team champions.
They're losing the belts, aren't they? Someone's taking them. Hopefully it's Sasha and Naomi, but also we've got Liv and Rhea in there, and they're probably shook another tag team. We've got 2 weeks, chuck another tag team in there that they just hastily shoved together.
It would be nice if one of these storylines did not end up in teasing tension and then for weeks on end and then splitting up. It's another thing that you can see coming a mile off. And if you're the kind of person who likes going on the roundabout and just going round and round and round in your car and never turning off, and you enjoy this kind of storyline, more power to you. I wish I was on the same boat. It's just, it's repetitive track. It's one of the 5 storylines that WWE always does multiple times a year. We'll probably see it again with Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan in about 6 months. So check in with us then and we'll see where we're at.
That's reminding me, I got a classic driving moment the other day. Got the old wanker sign through the window from someone. They were dangerously driving. I can't remember what it was. Maybe they cut me up or, I don't know, pulled out of a junction or whatever. Gave him a little honking. And I pulled up to the next one at the lights and then gave me a wanker. And I laughed. I just laughed. I'm not angry or anything like that. And I was like, I haven't seen that in ages, wanker.
There's no point getting wound up by it, is it? Give him a little...
Go in your Ford Fiesta, wanker.
All right, my car's more expensive than yours, Mr. Fiesta. Take that. I don't own a car, by the way. I'm quite poor. I used to own a bicycle, but it fell apart.
Well, I actually have got a nice Renault, but it's on lease, so technically...
It wasn't my car!
Anyway, out comes Seth Rollins, like we said. Anyway, on to the next thing. He's very giddy. He's very excited. He's got this idea, and he wants even to bring Kevin Owens out to share this with him. And out comes Owens, and he's interested in what the idea is. And Rollins has got this idea. Picture this. A talk show at WrestleMania. He says, I was trying to remember this earlier on the news. We could do freaking speaking with Seth freaking Rollins. That sounds like a name I'd come up with.
Yep.
Or the Rollins, Return of the Rollins Report. And guess who's going to have as his guest? Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh, it understandably goes, what? What are you doing? No, that's literally my thing. You've copied my homework. And Rollins says, I know what you're thinking. I've just stolen your thing. You're doing that. But how about we have a match tonight and the winner gets Stone Cold on their talk show? And Kevin Owens goes, no, that's my thing. I came up with it. And then Sonya Deville comes out and goes, good idea, let's have it as the main event. Preposterous.
Yeah, it's nonsense this, isn't it? It's two guys arguing who gets the right to get beaten up by Steve Austin at WrestleMania.
To be fair, I will say this. If we knew that one of us from What Culture was going to get stunned by, like, say we did WCPW.
Yeah.
There would be an argument as to who does it. But yes, in kayfabe, this makes no sense.
We're not trained professional fake fighters with 15 years experience. No. We're goobers from YouTube. yeah, I mean, like, again, like, they're fun together. They bounce back and forth really well. But, it's the whole construction of the idea that I lost one match, so I'm never going to be on WrestleMania again. It's preposterous, man. Like, it's impossible to invest in. It's, yes. Yeah. What more can I say? This stuff's rubbish.
And also, who said that Stone Cold would want to be on Seth Rollins? Like, the whole reason he wants to be... He's not gone, I want to be at WrestleMania. Who wants to interview me? He's gone, Owens, you've taken me to a place. 19 years, blah, blah. We all watched the video. Yeah. You can't just be like, and now your mate's going to interview me because of a stipulation that I didn't agree to.
Because of reasons. Yeah.
If that was me, I'd just go, I'll just not show up then. If I'm not getting to open a can of whoop ass on Kevin Owens, why am I bothering?
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to Steve Austin kicking some ass. Don't get me wrong.
It's going to be fun. Glass shatters, it's Texas.
Owens is going to sell it really well. It'll be fun, but oh man. I tell you, WWE in this era is like a pretty good pay-per-view company, but a rancid TV company a lot of the time. And it's just like, this episode kind of encapsulates that because we're moving towards things that we like, but the process of getting there is quite rubbish.
We're eating the vegetables to get to the steak.
This is it. This is it. But if you're smart, what you do is you eat the vegetable and the steak at the same time on the same fork. There you go. So, you know, it can all be good. You don't need to just scoff the broccoli all at once. You can put a little bit on the fork at the same time, which is a really weird analogy for this. But yeah.
Okay. Can you tell it's nearly lunchtime?
What time is it? We get Burger King.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, next up, we got the Hurt Business. They refuse to die.
This?
Stop. I say this every week. Stop calling yourselves the Hurt Business. It's like, on? What comparison can I draw? It's like Niall and Louis carrying on and going, here we are, One Direction. You're like, no. One Direction, first of all, there was five of you. And let's be honest, like, it's like Harry and Zayn are up here. Who's the one I've not mentioned? Liam? Yeah. You can't just keep calling yourself the Hurt Business.
Exactly. Imagine if Pete Townsend and
they quit as well, the Hurt Business.
Yeah. Imagine if Pete Townsend and Mick Jagger quit the Beatles. That's what it would be like.
Cedric's head exploded what it'd be like. At home.
It's. I think it's quite endearing in a way, isn't it? Like, they're just like, hey, we're still the Hurt Business, guys. Come on, cheer for us.
I love that T-shirt, isn't they? Yeah, black and gold great, T-shirt is lush.
It's a great T-shirt, and these guys rule.
But you
thing,
but inexplicably quit. Yep. Then you came back to be fodder for Goldberg.
Yeah.
And then Lashley beat him up again on the road to facing Lesnar, right? In the Chamber or something like
and
that.
Kicked them out.
Or maybe the Rumble.
Yeah.
And then, with Hurt Business.
Lads, she's dumped you.
Yeah.
She's dumped you. Stop texting her. Sometimes, you know, you need to let it go. If you really respect her needs, you stop being a problematic ex. That's what they're doing here.
Well, Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander got their asses handed to them, basically, by the Mysterios. Tornado DDT. Mysterios hit Alexander with a double 619. Benjamin does a Thez press off the apron onto Shelton. Does a Thez press onto Benjamin off the apron.
These guys are really good.
Oh, great.
Yeah, like.
And then Dominic hits Cedric Alexander with a frog splash. 1, 2, 3. I don't like Dominic Mysterio's gear, I've decided. It looks like he should have coloured it in. He's forgotten to.
It's got little numbers on it, like colour coded.
Anyway, post-match, because we had, I didn't mention, The Miz and Logan Paul on commentary.
Oh, boy.
They jump in to attack the Mysterios post-match, because of course they do. Like you say, we know the formula of how this works. But the Mysterios fight back and get the upper hand. They get rid of Miz. Paul's in there with the two Mysterios. He gets dropped onto the middle rope. It looks like they're going to do a double 619, but the Miz just yanks him out of the ring and saves him at the last moment.
Sorry, I was just doing a massive yawn. this match was... It was all about the shenanigans at ringside, really, wasn't it? Like, for about a solid minute early on, all he did was film Logan Paul, The Miz, the commentators arguing. So the action in the ring was totally secondary.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't mean anything. It didn't matter. And then even when they put the cameras back on the match, it was still all about the squabbling between the announcers, Logan Paul and The Miz. So
Corey Graves licking their arse.
Yeah, he was loving.
He's unbearable, isn't he?
He's rubbish. He thinks he's Bobby Heenan. He's more like Bobby Petta. There's a really obscure reference for you. Who's another weird Bobby? Bobby Petta's not that weird.
Bobby Croissant.
Loves a pastry, that boy.
We love Bobby Fish, by the way, in the office. That's not a slight on him.
We do. We love his entrance music in particular. The variety of things you can sing to it, like, I am Bobby Fish. Whoa! Okay. I'm not getting the same level of electricity for Logan Paul as I got for Bad Bunny last year.
But they've done the right thing. I do think they will attract some eyes to it with Logan Paul. I will say that.
His audience, I think, will tune in and go, hey, what's this guy doing? So say what you will about his usage. I do think that the strategy will work.
And it could be worse. It could be Jake Paul. So, you know,
yeah, there you go.
Who's an even more knobhead?
Who's the best Paul? I reckon it's Sean Paul.
I've got a cousin called Paul, so I'm going to give it to him.
Paul Jewell.
Don't Google him.
Oh,
do
goodness.
Not Google Paul Jewell.
Paul Daniels. Okay. Who's a Paul that the American listeners?
Paul London. Why are we
Paul
even
London.
Discussing this?
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, they announced the Hall of Fame induction, not of Sharmell, but of Queen Sharmell.
Yeah.
I like Sharmell.
Yeah, I like Sharmell.
We were enjoying
too.
The Kurt Angle Booker T. I think it was Judgment Day promo in the office yesterday.
Enjoying is a word.
Remembering, reminiscing.
Booker T's little kick at the TV. Like,
his little kick at the TV and Sharmell's fall.
I don't really want to kick this thing over. It might
it's
be expensive.
It's a big old telly. It's an old telly.
Oh, it's a hefty beast, isn't it? Yeah. I mean,
there's an argument to be made that other people it could have gone in instead, but Sharmell deserves it, and Booker T's going to be an inductor as well, which is a lovely touch.
I think that getting too annoyed about Hall of Fame inductions,
exactly,
it's a bit silly because it's a gimmick Hall of Fame, isn't it? Right?
Yes.
It's, you know,
still though, put Victoria in it.
Yeah.
What's he waiting for?
There are people who have had traditional Hall of Fame careers that you can look at and go, they should be in a Hall of Fame. But the WWE one's a gimmick. It's a fart around. It's, you know, it's not this
It's serious... like an angry star ratings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exactly yeah. the same. It's one person's decision at the
yeah,
end of the
exactly.
day.
Yeah, exactly. It's who does Vince feel like putting in. So, hey, why bother? I just like people, when I look at it, I sit there and go, who's going to give a fun speech? That's what I look for. Hillbilly Jim.
How long was that?
Yeah, it was probably about 40 minutes, but it took about 40 years off my life.
Days.
But yeah, okay, good stuff. Good for Charmel. Literally, you're going to get to a point where everyone who's ever been on TV is going to be in it. Just Joe is going to be in there. There's one for you old heads. Sunday Night Heat, represent, yeah. 2001. Yeah, but... I mean,
it is what
S.A. Rios, he's going to be in there.
Loved him.
Legend.
Ginger representation. When I first was looking, I was like, redhead!
Brought Lita into WWE
he did,
as well.
Indeed.
Yeah, good stuff.
Do you want to move on to something that's objectively bad?
Gilbert.
Edge. Oh. He comes out. He's got new music. I'm reliably informed by the internet. It's called The Other Side by Alter Bridge.
Yeah, he loves Alter Bridge, doesn't he?
Yeah. I particularly like the line, "You think you know me? You never did."
Clever.
I've written this down relatively verbatim, and I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to get your frustrated thoughts on it, I sense. Blue lighting.
Yeah.
He says he's going to bring everyone up to speed. He's the benchmark, Andy, of the WWE. It's taken him time to decipher the code of what he's actually become. It's so bad, this.
Jesus. Who wrote this? Did he write this himself?
Well, the thing is, Andy, this is above your capability of understanding. You, Andy, are simple. It's not his fault. But don't worry, he's going to grant us mercy, thankfully. He's going to put it in terms we can understand. He's better than everyone, Andy.
And he knows it.
Better than all of each and everyone. He didn't say that, but better than all of us, every single person in the industry. But since he came back, he hasn't shown this aptitude. The Edge that came back was weak, got injured. But then he realised we don't matter. He'd taken his eye off the prize with people like Randy Orton. He allowed Randy Orton to enter his home and piss all over it. No, not Randy Orton. That wasn't it. He allowed Randy Orton to enter him. He allowed Seth Rollins to come and piss all
Randy
over his
Orton
home.
Would do someone else in your bag.
Indeed. And he allowed someone like Roman Reigns to stack pin him at WrestleMania. And you know what? If AJ Styles met that version of Edge at WrestleMania, he'd destroy him. But, Andy, that Edge is dead. And now he sits perched on his mountain of omnipotence, looking down on everyone. He won't be judged by any of us. And if AJ can even make it to WrestleMania, he will be judged.
Edge, standing in the middle of the ring, bathed in blue light like some kind of hairy Smurf dick.
Not a fan of this?
He's the worst guy on the show. He's a very talented man, right?
They've squandered so much.
Yeah, he's a very talented man. I've enjoyed the matches. The content he is spitting out is dreck. It's rubbish. The music, your blue mate, you are Eiffel 65.
Yeah.
That should have been your theme song. Come on, Alter Bridge again. Get out of here, Miles Kennedy, with your wires.
Actually, why have they got Blue Monday?
The orgy version, to give it, probably because Edge is into wild sex parties. He actually looks a bit like Jay White in the lighting, I've figured out, which is weird because Jay White's obviously a lot younger than him, but there's some similarities there. It's interesting. The promo is complete rubbish. It's like, it's a variation of the Each and Every One of You promo.
Exactly.
But with, like, he got a thesaurus for Christmas.
100%.
Yeah, and he's saying, the mountain of omnipotence and all of this stuff. It's the same problems as always with these promos. It just looks a bit different and sounds a bit different. It is high school drama stuff. With everything is really overemphasized and over the top.
Sidge always says it's like the writing he did when he was in sixth form and he thought,
calligraphy.
How deep he was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's, some people would just write, good, I'm going to write stupendous.
Yeah, exactly. It's unwatchable stuff to me, this. It's, like I said yesterday when we were talking about something that I can't remember, it's the kind of thing that when you come in the room and someone who doesn't watch wrestling sees you watching this, you turn...
It was this. Yeah. I was talking about this last week.
Exactly. I'd rather be caught watching, like, The Fiend than watching this. Of course I'd be caught watching The Fiend because The Fiend rules.
Yeah. It'd be awkward because you're dating The Fiend, of course. So The Fiend would walk in and watch you watching The Fiend.
Exactly. Going... Burr, 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 burr. I love The Fiend with his little...
Andy, what do you want for tea?
He hears Rampant Rabbit or whatever his little... What was his bunny called again? It wasn't Ramp. That's a vibrator.
Yeah. Rambling Rabbit.
Dildo Dave. I mean, this sucked.
Yeah.
It's just melodramatic high school drama rubbish. I mean, it's so this guy is so cringeworthy. You're not
Get to the match.
Yeah, you're not winning an Emmy, mate. It's pro wrestling. Mm. Gee whiz. It's the most primitive art form imaginable, and you trying to turn it into this Shakespearean bollocks makes you look like a tit.
I 2-foot this when it's Malakai Black on AEW. I'm going to do the same here.
You should, yeah. It's just as bad.
I don't watch wrestling for this.
Exactly.
There's one exception, which was Verbose Jericho, if you remember, back in like 2008.
And that was on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you were just like, oh, you're such a twat.
Yeah, exactly.
And like CM Punk doing his like Sermon on the Mount stuff with a straight edge society. So there's more than one example. But more often than not, I go, oh my God. And especially with this, I'm like, just get to the match. I mean, they showed an AJ Styles tweet later where he was just like, dumbass. And I was like,
what are you talking about?
How am I like thinking, yeah, he's the person we should all be listening to.
Somehow, despite Edge trying to sound like a genius orator, AJ Styles, who has said many dumb things in his life, is coming off smarter than he is by simply cutting through the crap and going, shut up. That's nonsense. I'll see you next week. That's pro wrestling.
AJ Styles in this scenario is Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting when that bloke's trying to impress the girl at the cafe. Well, I got a number. I'd like them apples.
Yeah, he's perfect.
And then look, they follow this with something that's far better and far simpler. Bianca Belair is backstage. Sarah Schreiber asks her about, you know, the injury to Becky Lynch, blah, blah, blah. And Bianca Belair just reiterates what she said last week. Don't touch my fucking hair. Good. I understand this, right?
Simple, simple.
And she said, oh, hasn't it been better, though? Hasn't it been nice for a couple of weeks of peace and quiet? I smashed her in the throat. I caused her a, I don't know what it was called, vocal box issue. It's
fractured voice box.
Thank you.
There you go.
And then she said, I'm going to shut her up for good at WrestleMania. That did more in 30 seconds than this bollocks that lasted about 5 minutes did.
Not hard. Pro wrestling is really easy. Mm. Really easy. It only becomes difficult when you try to overcomplicate it, Adam
exactly.
Copeland.
Veer Mahan's still coming. He did some cross-eyed thing.
His bars must be huge at this point. Gee, and blue, like a smurf.
Oh.
Him and Edge. That's the tag team.
There you go.
Blue balls, they can be called.
And then we got Bianca Belair versus Dewdrop.
Yeah.
And you said to me, haven't they done this match loads of times before? And I thought, you know what? That's a very valid point. So I'm going to go off to my sources within WWE. And I asked them, wait a second, we've seen Dewdrop versus Bianca Belair a lot. What's going on with this on Monday Night Raw? And do you know what they said, Andy?
We're going to do it anyway.
Big Barry writer.
And it was, you know, now Nikki A.S.H. is friends with Dewdrop and they're saying, oh, we're superheroes. Yeah. And we superheroes don't hit people with their hair. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's the same match. Yeah. They have the same match. I love these two working together. And the first time I saw this, my jaw was on the floor. But diminishing returns, isn't it? Like,
the first time you see a firework go off, it's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. But by the 15th time, it's like, okay, I mean, it's still kind of cool, but it's lost its impact. That's the case here. Me and Hamflip reviewed one of the more recent Bianca Dewdrop matches the other week, and it was very good, and we both enjoyed it. Very impressive display of being able to do the KOD to Dewdrop. It's just a really good match. And this was decent enough. It's just you've just seen it. You've seen it recently.
Dewdrop chucks her into a barricade, misses the cannibal, takes us to a break. We come back. Dewdrop hits a Michinoku drive to get a near fall. Belair does that thing where she goes sent into the corner, jumps up, smacks her ass, backflips out of it, spinebuster to Dewdrop, and then manages to lift her up for the KOD and get the 1-2-3. It was all about the post-match here, though, Andy, because post-match, Becky Lynch returns. We speculated on this on the preview yesterday. She yanks Belair out of the ring. She's wearing all gold, tosses her around ringside, beats her up, and then she gets a steel chair, wraps it around Belair's head and specifically her neck, and then pulls her by the braid into the ring post, chair first. And I've actually got the exclusive sound from Bianca Belair after she suffered that injury. Throat trauma is what they announced. And then I think Lynch said, oh, no, it's going to be your bloody hair next week. So she's going to try and chop her hair off.
Sounded a bit croaky there, didn't she?
Indeed.
Going to be your bloody hair next week.
But yeah, an attack on Bianca Belair. It we said so simple and so effective, this.
This was good. Becky came off really well. I'm always here for creative spots using the hair. So using it as a way to like pull Bianca in with the chair around her neck and stuff. It's good. Good creative stuff. I like that Becky croaked a little bit. Like I said, she sounded a bit hoarse. Sell that fractured voice box. It's good. Just good, simple pro wrestling stuff. If the show was comprised of more things like this, I would be a big fan of that.
Exactly.
It was good.
Then we got the promised RK-Bro Championship celebration outcomes. Riddle and Randy. And Orton gets on the mic. He's in a very good mood. He says it's going to be his 18th appearance at WrestleMania, but it's going to be the sweetest one because he's going into the show as tag champs for the first time and with his friends. Love this development. He thanks Riddle for having his back, and he's the one, because last time they had a championship celebration that Riddle organized, and sort of Orton rolled his eyes, if you remember. Well, he's going to pay him back. He's organized it this time. It's a bit crap. He says he's not the best at throwing parties. There's a few balloons. There's a few bits on a table. But Riddle, you know, childlike wonder that he always has, says this is the greatest moment of his life. He says, look, there's birthday balloons, because, you know, my birthday was months ago or something. And there's a table, and he says, oh, my God, did you get this popcorn from insert local popcorn maker here? And Orton, and he got a little bit of a pap. And Orton says, actually, I just got it from the concession stand. And Riddle goes, brilliant! I like that even more. Concession stand is my favorite kind of popcorn. And there's some chewing gum. And he goes, oh, that's the one to go with this last gift. And there's a bag. There's a mystery bag with something inside it.
What's in the bag?
That Orton searched for high... And low.
But also, it was a green bag.
Indeed.
See what they did there? Good.
Before we can get there, though, out come the Street Profits to interrupt. And Riddle gets very excited. He says, oh, thanks so much for inviting, you know, Angelo and Montez to my party. And Montez says, we ain't here for a party. We're here on business. He says, look, we, if you remember, beat you on Raw a few weeks ago. And as a result of that, we want to be the ones to challenge you for the Raw tag titles at WrestleMania. And Orton says, sorry, did you not see how much we had to go through to get these back? You think winning one match is going to give you that right to face us at the show of shows, effectively? Nah, bollocks to you. And Ford says, you know what? We're done asking for opportunities around here. We are telling you, we are facing you at WrestleMania. And Orton says, no one's ever told me what to do in the ring my entire career. Not Taker, not Shawn Michaels, not Triple H, not even Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And he says, how about you and your homie leave the ring? And Riddle says, wait a second, Randy. Let's think about this. They did beat us. We do need opponents at WrestleMania, and they'd be great to face. And he calms Orton down, and Orton says, you should be thankful that you've got your mate Riddle here. Fine, we'll face you at WrestleMania for the Raw Tag Team Championships. And I thought, well, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
That's a hell of an addition to the card.
Superb.
And he says, good, we're gonna win those tag titles. Ford, this is. We're going to win those tag titles, and we're going to celebrate with a party that is an ass. He stopped over the line there, Andy. Riddle's like, hey, don't you say that about my friend's party. You and me right now, let's have it out. And Angelo Dawkins accepts on Ford's behalf. Before we talk about the match, just some great promo development, this.
Yeah, it was decent, wasn't it? I appreciated that this one was, and look, they do the wacky dumb stuff really well, but I did appreciate that this one was a little bit less wacky dumb than some segments these guys
are doing.
Some of the more elaborate set pieces. It's simple stuff. Randy is clearly in a groove with Riddle. Character-wise, they've done a great job of sustaining their dynamic and giving it new wrinkles. I think you can really tell when Randy Orton is just super into something.
Yeah.
Super into a program and enjoying himself, and he's delivering good work. The weed joke was really cute and funny. it was just a good time. Again, it was like just so simple. Just really simple stuff. You get the Street Profits coming out and going, hey, we beat you, so we should probably get a tag team title shot. logic.
Yeah.
Good logical stuff. It's like, yes, I can believe that these men would consider themselves worthy of a title shot, but I can also believe that Randy Orton would be like, no, we had that 30-minute match the other week and we did all this other stuff before that. We had to work really hard. You can't just come down here because you beat us in 8 minutes and I got injured or whatever. Like, so both of their motivations are clearly defined. They're both believable. They're at odds with each other. So mm-hmm. you position them in a place that they can have this conflict that makes complete sense. And you've got, on top of that, obviously the Street Profits are always loads of fun. And you've got the great dynamic with Riddle and Orton here, where Orton's kind of angrier and he's like, nah, piss off, Chief. And then Riddle's like, hey, calm down. But then they piss Riddle off as well. There you go, guys. The blueprint to being good is right there.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's nice. It's good.
And then we got an enjoyable match featuring Riddle and Montez Ford that went to a DQ.
Yeah, of course it did. You can't have nice things forever.
Yeah, some fun stuff. Riddle trying overhead suplex outside the ring, but Ford lands on his feet and hits a clothesline off the steel steps takes to break. That was nice. Riddle got an Orton-inspired power slam and draping DDT. But then when he goes to the RKO, Ford hits an enziguri, but Riddle comes right back with an RKO. But before anything can happen, before we can get a definitive finish, in comes Otis and, of course, Chad Gable. Shush, please! Shush! And they take everyone out. Chad Gable takes out Dawkins. Riddle goes after Otis, who's just laid out Orton at ringside. And Otis knocks him down. That's the DQ, of course. And then Gable and Otis give Dawkins the German suplex discus clothesline thing that they do. And Ford gets hit with a Vader bomb by Otis, followed by a Gable moonsault. And they stand there and go, oh, thank you! And I think that, considering the last triple threat tag team title match, would be very good for WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's something I definitely want to see because the last one was awesome. Just the whole thing we've basically been talking about the whole show, isn't it? Like, it's another cliched finish to get to something that you're probably going to like. So, yeah, echo my previous sentiments on other constructions of this nature on the show. But, yeah, I mean, like, how good was that Raw match the other week? This will be good, too.
It's going to be great, yeah, especially with the bonkers stuff that Montez Ford will do.
Yeah.
Not even at WrestleMania, so on the road, too. So. Yeah.
WrestleMania, splat. Don't do that again, mate. That was rough.
No. Then we got a lovely Razor Ramon Scott Hall tribute video, which was enjoyable, sort of weirdly enjoyable and incredibly hard to watch at the same time. Of course, our thoughts go out to Razor Ramon Scott Hall's family and friends in this incredibly tough time. It's just been awful news over the past few days surrounding that. And then we got to the main event, which was Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens for a spot on a talk show with Stone Cold. The right to get stunned at WrestleMania in Texas.
That's right.
Yeah. They had an enjoyable match, but a match with a glaring flaw that you're going to talk about, Andy.
Oh, people are going to hate this, man. People are going to hate my...
I think it's a valid assessment. Yeah. It's a main event with these two guys. They should be thinking about it more. Owens countered a dive to hit a senton to take us to a break early on. When we come back, Owens used a tornado DDT, spikes Rollins with another DDT for a two count. Rollins fights back, sling blade and springboard knee.
There you go.
There we go.
Spring blade.
Yes. Suicide dives. Second sends Owens over the announce table, who just manages to make it back into the 10 count, runs straight into a thrust kick. Rollins hits him with a frog splash as a result of that for a nice near fall. They do that bit where they're fighting on the turnbuckle, and you know what Owens is going to do, but it still looks jaw-dropping every time he does it. That avalanche fisherman bus suplex buster thing.
Yeah.
That gets him a near fall. Goes for the senton. Rollins gets his knees up. This is awesome chant from the crowd. Owens comes back, clothesline, but Rollins counters the stunner into a schoolboy for two. Now, probably had him down for three, but in the midst of all this, the referee sort of had to dive out of the way of everyone. So by the time he got back in and in position to count it, it only got two. That caused Rollins to turn around and argue with the referee. He tries to hit the stomp in amongst all this, but Owens hits him with the stunner. One, two, three. Owens is going to WrestleMania to do the KO show with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and they really reiterated with heavy allusions to to Cody Rhodes after this.
Dashing. Dream.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
That Rollins will not be going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So he will be.
Yeah. I mean, of course he will. It was a pretty fun popcorn match. But it did have kind of a glaring flaw that me being the dork that I am, kind of honed in on. Kevin Owens spent quite a lot of time working Seth Rollins' knee over here and wrapping it up and striking at it as an apparent form of strategy, which is good psychology.
Oh, yeah.
Within the match. If you work a limb match, it's classic stuff. The problem is, in order for that to work, the guy taking the beat down, the guy who's got the hurt leg, needs to sell, which Rollins didn't do at all. And like, there's more than one way to sell in pro wrestling. You don't need to be hobbling around like a lunatic for the whole match. You can do bits where like you have this adrenaline spiking comeback spot, but then you go back to it and go, ah, that really hurt, it was just adrenaline. Or you can do a bit where he fights through it and like nurses it back.
Yeah.
But there was no process for that either. This was a guy who took a prolonged knee assault to the point where, like, when he was getting worked over, he was selling it well. It looked like he was being hurt. But then as soon as it was time for Seth to do his cool moves with a capital M and a Z at the end, he just forgot about it. I mean, this guy had the knee worked over. He didn't slow down at all. He barely nudged it as if it was hurting afterwards. He was throwing these flying, running knees. He got his knees up for the splash at the end. It's just like, psychologically, this was just a mess. Like, and it's the kind of thing that a lot of people complain about in other companies and hold WWE as this icon of selling and psychology and stuff, when it's illustrates that point as a complete farce. It's, look, I had fun watching the match, it was good, but when you start a story like, hey, I'm going to work the knee and Seth's going to have to overcome that and sell, he actually has to do his part on the side of the story as well. So for that reason, I just felt that the knee work was totally superfluous.
Yeah,
it ended up being pointless. The story was a mess. It was all over the place. And what you ended up with was an enjoyable popcorn match.
Oh,
But nothing more by the end. And, like, it is quite distracting when they're like, the guys turn to the sign every 2 minutes and Kevin Owens are going, it's my opportunity. And every shot is aimed at this sign and Seth is turning to it and looking at it. And it's, they could have had a really great match here if they'd kept with the knee selling. And, like, Seth throws a high knee because it's instinct and he immediately collapses because he's in so much pain. I was like, I shouldn't have done that. And he's hobbling and he's nursing and he's fighting through it and all of this stuff. It's a babyface role, but one you could work in believably, I think, 100%. Into this match. And they were on the cusp of having this really great main event and they just had an okay one as a result of it. And it's a bit disappointing.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah, it was an enjoyable main event, but it could have been...
Could have been awesome.
Yeah. Although it was always going to be... To a certain extent, I understand them not. I mean, they did go bonkers, but not properly killing themselves because who actually buys that Seth Rollins is winning this?
Yeah.
We're all just there going, is Cody coming out? And he doesn't. They're going to eke it out for another week. I think with hindsight, it probably makes sense because as much as they could, as you said on the news, sweeten the audio, you're going to get a deafening AEW chants if Cody comes out in Jacksonville. So maybe next week.
It'd be kind of funny, wouldn't it? It'd be funny.
We'll have to wait and see on that arrival. But let us know your thoughts on Raw on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. No 5-star review this week. Raw was just so good.
We just had such a blast. We actually set it up on a big screen in the office projector. It's good.
Or we sort of forgot and have sort of been really busy because we're down a few
stuff
people in the What Culture
occurring,
office.
Yeah.
It will, of course, return next week. And if you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related for us to review, do so on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review and do it on there. You can leave us a 5-star review on Spotify. You just can't write anything, apparently. You can follow Andy Murray on Twitter at...
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Hamlet, Sidgwick. I hate both of you guys for being off and making me review Raw.
Follow me at Adam Wilbore. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Me and Andy will be back to preview NXT 2.0 a little bit later on today. But for now, this has been the Raw Review. My thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.